giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to our ministers and their spouses, our deacons, my wife Valerie, and everyone on the call this morning. I count it a blessing to again proclaim the Word of God. And again, in your Bible at Luke chapter 15, I want us to read 10 verses, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Starting at verse 1 in Luke chapter 15, we will find these words. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." May God bless the reading of his word. Verses 4 through 6 say, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he found it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And then verses 8 and 9 says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.'" And with these words in our hearing, we want to reflect for the next 20 minutes using the sermon title, "Know Your Value." Know your value. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your word gives us direction, and your word also tells us not only who we are, but it also tells us our value as well. So Heavenly Father, O God, as we go into your word, O Heavenly Father, I pray that I decrease and you increase, and I pray, O Heavenly Father, that your word is heard and is understood and is done in your people. Help us all, Lord God, to know our value and to live out that value. We thank you, O God, for this word and the power of the word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Imagine a shepherd out in a distant field in Israel over 2,000 years ago. The shepherd is out in some grassy field and no one else is around. But the shepherd is not entirely alone. He does not have anyone with him, but he does have exactly 100 sheep with him. And the shepherd is responsible for every single one of those sheep. And one day the shepherd discovers that just one of the sheep out of the 100 is missing. Imagine a woman living in a small house in Israel over 2,000 years ago. This woman gets by on very little, but this woman does have 10 silver coins that are of great value to her. And one day the woman discovers that one of those 10 coins is gone. That brings us to our text this morning here in Luke chapter 15. You can imagine the frantic search the shepherd embarked upon as he was looking for that one sheep. I'm sure he was asking himself, "Did a fox kill it?" Or, "When did I last see that particular sheep?" can imagine the shock that this woman had when she learned that one of her silver coins was missing. She was asking herself, did I misplace it? Did I drop it? Where did I last see it? Has someone stolen it? And so the search was on. A search by the shepherd for the lost sheep. A search by the woman for the lost coin. The Bible says in verse 4 that the shepherd left the 99 to go searching for the one lost sheep. The Bible says in verse 8 that the woman took out her lamp, took out her broom, and carefully began a complete search of her home for the one lost coin. And when the shepherd found the sheep in verse 5, he called together his friends and neighbors and celebrated. And when the woman found the lost coin, because she had been searching and searching and searching, it says in verse 9 that she called together all her friends and neighbors and celebrated because she found that coin which she lost. Now, both are parables here told by Jesus, and there are a host of messages for the hearer of the parable. Jesus wants the Pharisees and the scribes to learn a lesson about the extent to which God, the God that they claim to serve, will go for those that they think are expendable. Jesus wants you and I to know that even though the lost sheep and the lost coin were indeed lost, there was indeed a desperate search underway towards restoration. And then Jesus wants you and I to know that after restoration, that there should be friends and neighbors that care enough to celebrate the restoration, to rejoice with those that rejoice, to be happy that which was lost is now found. There's something also, a driving factor throughout this shepherd's ordeal of losing a sheep, a driving factor throughout the woman's ordeal of losing the coin. And that driving factor was that they both had a deep appreciation and knowledge of the value of what they lost. Now, while the parable is about the extent to which God will search out lost mankind for those of which are his own, at the core of the parable, at the core of both parables, is this concept of value. Value is the regard that something is given and deserves. Value is the importance and worth or usefulness of something. That is the meaning of value. The value of something is ultimately in the eye of the one that is responsible for the thing, whatever that thing is. And you and I have a God that is responsible for us. Ephesians 1, verse 13 tells us that we are God's own possession, chosen for the praise of his glory, and that we have an inheritance in heaven with him as his children. We can look to God and his word to tell us our value. There is a confidence that comes from knowing your value. When you know your value, you can begin to let go of negative thought patterns that hold you back. When you know your value, you will know that it is okay to let go of toxic relationships. When you know your value, if a relationship comes to an end, you may grieve, but you will know that you are still worthy of love. When you know your value, you can look in the mirror and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are God's works. My soul knows it very well. And here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus, he spoke these two parables. And the beautiful thing is that the audience was not just the Pharisees and scribes in verse 2, but the tax collectors and sinners in verse 1 that had drawn near to him to hear him. And what the tax collectors and sinners ended up hearing, if they were paying attention, was that they were of great value. Each one of them was like the lost sheep. Each one of them was like the lost coin. Each one of them had value. Each one of them had great worth. You know, we didn't read it, but Jesus asked his disciples back in Luke chapter 12 when discussing the matter of faith, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And then Jesus went on to say, not one of them is forgotten before God. Why? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. And then Jesus said this, fear not, you are of much more value than many sparrows. At the end of the day, understanding your value is the difference between eternity with God or eternity without God. And the Bible, Jesus, they present this truth that mankind lost knowledge of their value. And when you know your value and come to know your value, it's by no means a call to arrogance or pride. It's really an awareness of your value in God's eyes and your value in the eyes of others too. You know, I think of understanding your value as being the difference between looking in the mirror and being good with what you see or hating what you see. And that is what God's word does for those that will let it. It allows people who have been wounded by the fiery darts of this world to the point that they do not value themselves. And it shows them with a gospel message how their soul can be healed and how they can be brought out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. This gospel will allow all of us, if we will let it, to know our value. And so as I move to my conclusion, it's a question or questions for each one of us. Do you know your worth? Do you know your value? Frankly, every time someone or something comes along to try to make you doubt your value, these are questions that we should ask and answer. But at the end of the day, God knows who you are. God knows your worth. God knows your value. And because God knows this, we can learn about our value from him. He tells us about our value in his word. He tells us about our value day in and day out if we would just only open our hearts and hear him tell us our value to him. Because our God, who is holy, went out of his way to extend a lifeline to those of us who were the very opposite of himself, those who were unholy, those born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it was because God knew our value. And if you are that valuable to God, then ask yourself whether you indeed know your own value. The Bible really tells us that God never meant for you and I to go through life not knowing our value. In fact, God gives us day after day to learn more and more about our value. God, our Father, wants us to come to him because we are of great value to him. He wants us to have fellowship with him because we are of great value to him. He wants to care for you and me because we are of great value to him. He hears and answers our prayers because we are of great value to him. And no matter how hard it gets for you, no matter how many doors that have been closed in your face, no matter how many obstacles that are placed in your way, just remember each and every time your value to the God that created you. You by faith have joined God's family. He chose you. He saved you. He sanctified you. He called you to faith through the gospel. He called you to all of this because you are of great value to him. Each one of us is so valuable to God that he allowed his only begotten son to come down from glory to give his life to pay a sin debt that we were unable to pay. And when you began to recognize that the life and blood of Jesus was payment for your soul, you began to recognize your value. Sadly, our opinion of our value is too often based on what other people tell us about ourselves. And sadly, somebody told you and me a lie one day. Because your true value is not in your education and social status. Your true value is not in your material possessions. Your true value is not in your height, your weight, the color of your skin, or none of that. The one and true authority on our value is Jesus Christ. And since he gave his own life up for us by dying on a cross, that should tell us just how valuable we really are. Knowing your value is what allows you to begin to see that the places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. The people I used to see, I don't see no more, because I know my value. And so as we leave this call this morning, just know and embrace your value as a once lost and now found child of God. And if you're saved today, know your value. Know that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Know that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Know that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. And when you know your value, you can look in the mirror. You can look at others, and you can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, it's not about how you and I started. It's not even about where you and I are at right now. It's about knowing that you have a big God that knows your value, and that that God has the power to help you finish strong, to help you win in the end. My brothers and sisters, know your value and embrace your value, because Jesus Christ paid with his own life, and that is indeed a measure of your value. May God bless the preaching and teaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you because your word shows us, O Heavenly Father, how valuable we are. How valuable we are to you, how valuable we are, Lord God, in doing what you've called us to do. So, God, I just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you help your people to recognize their value and to not believe the lie, Lord God, that their value is based in any material possessions, that their value is not based in how they look or any of those things, but their value is based in you. So, Father God, I just pray, O Heavenly Father, that we can leave this call knowing our value and embracing our value and continuing day by day to live out our value. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.